you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the Old Testament lesson of the day found in Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This is our text. Dear people of God, you may have heard me preach on this vision of Abraham before. Referring to my notes, I've talked about how the Lord is the great shield of his people. Talked about Abraham's worry and troubles. Talked about Abraham's real son and exactly who that is. But as I sat and contemplated this reading, I find what it really is about is righteousness. Righteousness gets lost here because of the fantastic story and also because it's at the end. It really is incredibly shocking that righteousness is found in this reading at all. For it's a story about Abraham and his wrestling with God, just like his grandson Israel will wrestle with God later. That's where he got his name from. It means wrestles with God. Here we see Abraham worrying and wondering, looking at the stars, and all of a sudden, righteousness. Righteousness means being holy in front of God, being perfect. Righteousness means that God looks at you and says, Well, here's someone who's never sinned. Here's someone with no faults at all. Here's someone who actually deserves my love and my favor. Righteousness means that God looks at you, sees you as his holy child, treats you as such, and then also welcomes you into his heavenly, eternal, glorious kingdom, which is the point of everything. Getting to heaven is the goal. Be with God forever and ever in his paradise. But how? One look at our lives, one listen to our mouths, one peek into our minds reveals us to be terribly unrighteous. We are the opposite of what God expects and demands. We are unrighteous and cannot please God. It is truly hopeless, as is seen by the actions of the world. Now the world still knows a bit about right and wrong, what is sin and what is not sin. They still have some faint semblance of a conscience left, and their consciences are truly screaming at them, and you can see that by how they react to it. They've gone and used every trick available, everything in this world to try to quiet their conscience so it doesn't bother them anymore. Alcohol. Alcohol makes people happy. It makes people forget their troubles for a while. Then the morning comes, and the person feels worse than when they did in the first place. Drugs are expensive. And they turn people into thieves. Drugs also ruin the body, from the teeth to the heart to the mind, depending on the drug. But also comes the morning. And that bright sun in the sky reminds the godless that God still knows about your sins. Some have tried Buddhism more and more among us, and meditation. And they say right out, they do it to quiet the mind. But why do they need to quiet the mind? Because their conscience is screaming at them. And so they try to power their way to peace. They try to fool themselves into thinking that they are right with God just by staring at their belly buttons. And then, the most recent trick, which is really the oldest trick of mankind to quiet the conscience, is anger. Just to say, I'm not a sinner, no, you are. The world takes the sins that the Bible really lists as sins and says, no, those are not sins. That's actually good. The person who sins sexually among us in this world, in our country especially, is held up to be the hero. They're held up to be the brave person. They really know what love is. Not the love of Christ, of course, but the love of the old sinful Adam. That's what's paraded in our face every day. What the Lord said in the book of Romans has really come true. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And not only are the sixth commandment breakers among us glorified, but the fifth commandment breakers too. We claim to not like murderers, and yet what books and movies sell the best? Murder mysteries and slasher movies where there's all kinds of blood and life is cheap. What I'd like for you to do today is to have your eyes opened. And as you look around and you see this world and all the strange things they do, I want you to realize why. It's because of their conscience. Because they know that they're doing wrong. And they can't quiet that voice inside of them that says, God is going to get you for this. And so they go reaching for all these different things to try to convince themselves that they are righteous in front of God. That they're fine. That they're actually right and just. Yet their conscience keeps screaming. But Abraham shows us the only effective way to truly quiet the conscience, to soothe the conscience, to justify the sinner. The first thing Abraham shows us to do is to run to God. Well, that's hard to do, because sinful man's natural inclination is to run away from God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they went hiding in the bushes. Hiding from the omniscient maker of heaven and earth who knows all things. God already knows what you've done. Do not run from him. Run to him and plead for his mercy. Next, tell him the problem. Lay out your sins right in front of him. Lord, this is what I am. This is what I've done. These are my pet sins. Abraham's pet sin was worry. Can anybody relate to that? Run to the Lord and tell him what you are. And then, believe. That's the trick. Abraham an 85-year-old man believed that the Lord would give him and his 75-year-old wife their own child, and that this child would grow to be a nation of millions, and from that nation would come the Savior of the world, including the Savior of this sinner, Abraham. Now that's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. That makes no sense at all. But Abraham believed. He believed the words and promises of God. And that's nice. That's a sweet story. Almost sounds like a Disney story, that someone believed beyond belief that it could happen for them. And we can dismiss it all as a tale until Moses adds this part on there, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And that's where the story completely falls off the rails. That really makes no sense. How does believing you'll have a child give you righteousness in front of God? Well, you have to follow the rest of the story. And you can, because you believe the same thing. You also believe that Abraham did have this miracle child he was promised, and that he was named Isaac, and that Isaac had a child whose name was Jacob, or Israel, the one who wrestled with God, and that Israel grew into the great nation. And many years later, the Savior was born into that nation. And his name is Jesus Christ. You believe, like Abraham, that this Christ took away your sin and made you right with God, just like Abraham was right with God. You believe that this Jesus took on himself all of your sins and shortcomings and mistakes and failures. He took upon himself all of your pet sins and your sins of rebellion, your stupid sins, and the ones you don't even know that you did. And he paid for them all as he hung upon that terrible cross. And he proved our justification when he rose from the dead on the third day. That's what makes you righteous in the eyes of God. Like Abraham, you believe the ridiculous and beautiful words and promises of God. You are righteous in front of God without a righteousness of your own. You are righteous even though you do not feel righteous. You are righteous simply by believing that the Lord considers you righteous in Jesus Christ. That's what this reading is all about. If the Lord could consider Abraham, this great warrior and sinner, to be righteous simply through his faith, so the Lord also considers you sinners holy and righteous in his eyes through this same simple Christian faith.